Hey, thanks for listening to the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe podcast with LeVar Arrington, Jonas Knox, and myself, Brady Quinn. Make sure you catch us live weekdays, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern or 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. You can find your local station for the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe show over at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, welcome in. Yeah, that is what it is. Two pros and a cup of Joe. We got it's three pros really, but our cup of Joe, being the cup of Joe by himself, you know, he's out today. But you got the other pros. You got Brady Quinn. You got myself, LeVar Arrington. I mean. You know, we're trying to hold it down. Welcome to hour three of the show. This is one fine show that's taking place. A lot has been discussed. If you missed anything, if you're just waking up and you're just hearing what's going on, welcome for joining us. If you've been listening, we appreciate you being here. But check out the podcast. Make sure you go check out the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe podcast. Check us out on Twitter. You can check us out there, you know, at what you want to call it, two pros and a Joe? Is that what we are?
Well,
on
we don't have a Twitter handle yet.
Okay,
so
I know there's
Fox
a Brady.
Sports Radio at Fox Sports Radio. You can find us there.
Okay, well there you go. You got underscore Brady underscore Quinn. You got the Jonas Knox. Make sure you put the before Jonas. By the way, and you got LeVar Arrington. You can find us on Twitter. I don't like being at it, but you can at Brady and you can at Jonas and those guys. That's always good. All right, so make sure you check out the podcast.
you're not going to respond back to the social media folks out there?
I hate being at it because more often than not, adders are haters. There are a lot of positive adders out there. I just think that like anything else, right? Why do you have a curfew for a football team? It's not for the guys that do what they're supposed to do. It's always for the guys that don't. So it's always a few people that mess it up for everybody. You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Here's what I feel like social media has become.
Okay.
All right?
Let me know.
Social media has become a release, an area where people vent and they take out their frustrations on other people. And they can do it because they feel like it's a safe place where for the majority of people out there, they're not verified. You know, no one really knows their identity. Is their avatar even them? Is it a picture of them? Could you identify them?
Right.
If you saw them walk on the street? Probably not. And so what happens is you get a lot of frustrated sports fans, for example, people who are frustrated with the country and all. Like, that's what it ends up being. It ends up being a place for them to vent. And I've kind of come full circle to where, like, if that's what you need, okay. You know, go ahead. Go ahead and vent. Go ahead and say whatever you want or do whatever you want. I mean, you will face the consequences depending on what you say, right? We still have our you know, First Amendment rights, freedom of speech, but that doesn't mean you're not going to face the consequences.
Right.
But my whole thing is, like, I just don't care. So if that's where, like, if you want to be like all upset, hot and bothered on social media at me or someone, I don't care. You know, that's your right, man. You got the right to do so. That's the place to do so. I just don't really ever check it or care.
So. Every once in a while I have time. And so therefore I make time. I love trolling the troller every once in a while. It gets pretty interesting sometimes. In fact, I had one situation go down so crucial that we ended up talking on the phone. We had to get on the phone. They got so personal and they got so, like, you know, threatening with what it is that they had to say. I basically said, you know, all this content that you putting up on here threatening me, you need to give me a call. Inbox me your number. We got on the phone. We got on the phone, Brady Quinn.
That's a little too much for me, man.
Yeah, and listen, this dude told me he was gonna pull up to my crib. And so I don't really play that. And then he found out that I'm not really that type of guy and I don't really get that deep with things. But when you start bringing up people's families and you start bringing up people's cribs, well, then now we got to have a whole entire conversation based around what that looks like, because I need you to understand that that you ain't going to come out on top on that one. And
no.
Let's just be clear on that one. Don't ever bring up people's families. There's certain things that have to stay off limits.
Boundaries.
Even
for
when
sure.
you believe that that's your right. place to be able to say what you want to say and do what you want to do, there are limits. And, well, he found out that there were limits, and we talked through it. And you know what? We came to a good you know, conclusion to it. We walked away. We went away in peace. It was peaceful. So that's a good thing.
You know, I'm glad you found peace with it, because there is a situation where I don't know that anyone's at peace with any. In fact, it's the opposite.
I'm ready.
Things
for
are
it.
Kind of turning up right now
I'm
in
ready
regards
for
to Deshaun Watson,
yes.
the Houston Texans, a potential trade.
Yes.
A lot of teams looking for some answers right now.
Probably
got
a lot
the
of people in his inbox.
They're struggling. Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, wait. That's where the trouble yeah. Came
that's
from.
That's where
right?
it started.
Oh,
yeah.
man.
That might be actually right. in evidence somewhere.
Ooh,
some of these lawsuits.
Yeesh.
So,
yes.
Yeah, that might be part of what they call in the legal system discovery.
Okay. Okay. All right.
So you've got the Carolina Panthers.
Yep.
You've got the Miami Dolphins. I'm going to throw in another team that I think is quietly still in the mix.
Here you go. And they just
right?
they were active. Go ahead.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Jeez.
I mean, here's what I'd say in regards to the Eagles is Howie Roseman is one of the savviest executives in the NFL at being able to kind of, you know, figure out how to manipulate the roster, utilize his draft capital to acquire players that can help their football team. Case in point, the trade of Flacco. It's a conditional sixth-round pick that could turn into a fifth-round pick if he plays. The trade of Carson Wentz, conditional picks that can turn into even something better than what it currently is right now. So all those things are on the horizon, which leads me to think that, knowing how he loves these conditional picks,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have a conditional trade. Like maybe those first-round picks that he's got, we talked about earlier, I believe it's the 3rd, 6th, and 13th, as we currently stand. You're telling me if he sends those to Houston, they're not like, yep, that's what we're looking for. Because Houston's in a completely rebuild mode.
Yes, they are.
Complete rebuild mode.
Mm-hmm.
They would love the chance to have 3 top 15 picks. Now, that's going to come with the condition that Watson plays for the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think we kind of kick off the conversation, though, because yesterday was the first time we got a glimpse.
Oh, what could happen?
And, well,
I'm
Ian Rappaport
shocked.
Came out with a report. I was surprised, too.
I'm shocked.
And look, Ian Rappaport works for the NFL Network. That's owned by the NFL. So you have to think that he's not going to put something out there that's not truthful, or at least in some way coming from the NFL. And look, the rationale, the justification for it, I'm a little bit kind of scratching my head on, because what he had stated was that because this isn't a violent crime that Deshaun Watson's being accused of, even though the nature of it is still disgusting and heinous if it does end up being true and Deshaun Watson is convicted of in a criminal, you know, case, or even civilly to a degree, you know, you still would have to think that this is, I mean, it's bad, man. I mean, you got 22 civil cases, 10 criminal cases against you. And so I understand the nature's not domestic violence. It's not, you know, as you know, maybe physical in nature as we're talking about, but there's still a lot of wrongdoing, a lot of harm that allegedly was caused. And yet the NFL, based on Ian Rappaport's report, is saying that if Deshaun Watson is traded, he is not going to be put on the exempt list. He would be eligible to play immediately. I mean, I was surprised by it. I assume you were as well.
I'm going to stay where I'm at until I hear something different with that. But if that turns out to be the case, then now my first question would be, if that has been the conclusion that has been come to, why would that not have been discussed before now? Why and why wouldn't it be officially discussed at this moment? If this is something, like, you got to take into consideration, the deadline's Tuesday.
Right.
So we're a week away from that deadline. And if this were to take place, this would be a tremendously big trade that takes place. So with that taking place, now everybody's going to immediately look to the NFL and say, what is the NFL going to do? And if they come out and say what you just said, the justification of it coming at the point in time that it comes, I think is peculiar. I think that it creates a really, really hard conversation. I think if it's discussed now, there's a chance you can get ahead of it in that regard. But I still think that it's a tough conversation, because if that's the conclusion you came to, then I would assume you probably would have came to that conclusion after you conducted your interviews with the alleged victims of these cases, at least some of them that they interviewed. So to me, why would you, if this is your conclusion, why would you not get out in front of it and say what that reasoning is before now?
Well, I think the reasoning behind that is they probably haven't needed to, because if there was a settlement, they don't, you know, at that point, it's a moot point. I don't know that they're going to step in and do anything either, you know, whatever the case is, in part because there most likely would be some sort of an agreement where, those who settle are not able to share whatever took place. All right, that's usually how settlements work, right? Once there's that payout, you know, those who receive the money are also agreeing to never let anything be spoken again about that alleged incident. So in that case, I think the NFL doesn't really have much of the ability to investigate it, and it's kind of over, so they're moving on from it. You know, or at this point, they let the legal process take its course, which they've got to be kind of hands off until, you know, that course is finished, which I guess in the 10 criminal cases, that's going to be expedited. But in this case, the trade deadline is going to come before we get any sort of verdict there.
Correct.
So for that reason, they kind of had to now, because the trade talk is heating up. And I think they needed to come out and address the fact that what we asked, and this is a question I had in my mind, was if the NFL is going to put him on the exempt list as soon as he gets traded to another team, you're kind of doing that team dirty, are you not?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But
I think you're still assuming that the Houston Texans aren't being done dirty, because the Houston Texans are approaching it from the standpoint of
the Texans. I'm not worried about in a trade scenario.
But what I'm saying, the team trading for him. Yes, but what I'm saying is, in terms of having the understanding and the information as the team that's going to go trade for him, you're aware of the fact of why he's not playing. In my estimation, you would be aware of it. So it's not really necessarily you doing that team dirty. You're not playing Deshaun Watson for several different reasons.
Well, no, he doesn't want to play for them.
True. That's one of the several reasons.
Right. But I'm saying that trumps everything else.
I don't disagree with that.
They're in a tough spot because they've got to have him on their active roster. And he doesn't want to play for you, but they need to be able to trade him, and they can't make it about an injury. Then that would, you know, create a problem trying to trade him, or maybe some issues with trying to trade him. And so if it's not about an injury and it's more about the off the field stuff, and they want to move on and he wants to move on, but they haven't come to that agreement yet, you know, and you don't want to put him out there and play him to risk potential injury. Right?
Yeah.
Because that goes right out the window as soon as Nick Caserio and David Culley say, well, we're forcing you to play, or we need you to play. All right. And then he goes out there and tears an ACL. All right. Well, that kind of takes away all your ability
absolutely.
To trade him for anything.
Sure.
So you don't want to risk that. And so, like I said, I'm not worried about the Texans from that standpoint. I'm worried about any team that's trading for him, because if he gets there and the assumption is he will be able to play, he's not on the exempt list, and then something changes and they put him on the exempt list – You're kind of doing them dirty. Like, I would think that you're all trying to work in unison. And I said this before. Look, as bad as this sounds, it's the truth. You've got a top five quarterback, at least a top 10, but a top five quarterback, in my opinion, who can turn around some of these middling teams. You teased that a minute ago. Like, there's a number of teams that could use his services to turn around their franchise. And you've got a guy who could be, a face of the NFL. Now, mind you, they might not want him to be the face of the NFL right now until this stuff clears. But he could be the face of an NFL franchise right now. And he's sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
So I think those teams who are, trading for him are most at risk of facing whatever consequences the NFL would leverage on them. If that was going to be the case. But again, it sounds like based on the report from Ian Rappaport, that's not the case. And I think because of that, you will see some teams now you know, exploring that. You know, David Tepper, the Carolina Panthers, you know, Scott Fitterer, the GM down there, he said we want to be on every single trade. Well, this is a trade you're going to be a part of them, right? Played his ball at Clemson. It just makes a lot of sense from a lot of different reasons, and especially with the regression of what we've seen from Sam Darnold kind of going back to his old ways, they might already be done with that, you know, and then the benching that he faced last week. So I think there's three teams in the mix. I still think Philly has the draft capital to make it happen and the savvy general manager in Howie Roseman to be able to orchestrate that, conditionally make those draft picks depending on playing time and all that. That's the team that I think is still kind of out there lurking, is the Philadelphia Eagles in this whole conversation.
It hasn't been a very loud Deshaun Watson situation, and I wonder how much that plays a part in these latest reports coming out. I would assume if it were louder, you know, a Mike Vick situation where you're facing – like real outrage, protests, different things of that sort that would come from Deshaun Watson being cleared to play until the legal process plays out due to the nature of what took place in the allegations. I just wonder if it's because it's not loud, you know, and that's
which is unfortunate because, you know, again, if the allegations were true, there might not be as much physical damage, you know, as we've seen in other instances. But there is a lot of mental damage that comes with that, or these individuals were impacted in a great way by what at least, again, has been reported as what the accusations are. If that is the case, like, we're in this world now of, like, mental health and wellness becomes a priority.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big thing, especially for the individuals who were impacted by this. Again, if indeed it's true, I don't want to presume that, you know, someone is guilty until they've had their chance to be able to provide evidence otherwise.
Yep.
But again, that's the one thing I hope doesn't, you know, fall by the wayside. This isn't a Ray Rice situation in video. It's different, but at the same time, it can still be scarring and very damaging for those individuals who are affected by it.
Yeah, well said. All right, well, I'll tell you what, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out, OQ. But
you know who we got coming up next, though?
Hey, bro, we got Petros Papadakis coming on. If you don't know who he is, check him out. Co-host of the Petros and Money Show, an analyst for Fox College Football as well. You can check him out at OP on the Twitter. We'll be bringing him in, but you know what else you got to do? You got to discover. And Brady, Discover matches all the cash back you'll earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. I know you got to love that. It's amazing because Discover is accepted at 99% of the places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations do apply, as we mentioned. The great Petros will be joining us shortly. You're listening to Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. That's OQ. I'm O. Arrington, and we will be right back. This is Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Coming up on the show now, as promised, we have the man. We have the myth. We have the legend. Yeah, yeah, clap it up, clap it up. Get it going. He's got one of the greatest voices in all of radio. He brings all of the energy. He'll injure you if you ain't ready. Our co-host of the Petros and Money Show and analyst for Fox College Football. I mean, come on, man. This guy does everything. He's got his own show on TV. He's got nice socks. He's got nice shoes.
Oh, he does have a good sock game, shoe game. That's for sure.
I mean, what else is there to say other than...
Well, let's welcome him in.
Let's just bring in Petros Papadakis. What's going on, sir?
Good morning, guys.
Yeah, yeah. We're happy to have you on, man.
It's great to be together.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, Petro. This is my favorite time of the week.
I saw Brady this week.
I know.
Brady came to visit me in the in my little room where we do football games.
Oh, nice.
For Fox, and he had his very special stretchy button-down shirt on.
I mean, when you have all those muscles, your shirt has to have a little give.
Yeah, yeah. It was. I need some give, and I have some shirts from like 10 years ago. You know, I'm still dressing like I'm going to church in 97, and I need to get.
It's better for the fabric and material to give rather than the buttons. You know, it never works out well when the buttons are the giving part of your outfit.
He looked good.
It's not
good.
Know.
Oh, you guys look good. First off, you guys have, there's a little secret to all that. Like, your setup and how you guys call games, you and Dan Helly, that's money. Like, that is the deal right there.
Shouts out to Dan. Good dude.
Yeah,
great dude.
Great dude. Yeah. And you guys get to wear comfortable pants.
Yeah, stretchy pants.
Even though you're business up top, you're party down below. And that's the fun part
of it. And some people really exploit that. Like Alexi Lawless, you know, he'll run around in like a full suit on top, and he's got like Bermuda shorts or Lululemon shorts or something like that, with his white, you know, red hairy legs going around like two big Greek sausages. Because he is a Greek, and that's too much, you know. I don't want to rub it in everybody's face like that. Like,
you don't want to see that Greek sausage, is what you're saying.
There's still a thought process to that, though. Hey Pops, let me ask you this. I mean, before we get into the meat of this conversation, I was at the
Greek sausage.
Right.
The Greek sausage is called it's called a Lucanico, the Greek sausage, and it's made with orange rinds. It's very good if you can find it.
That's very interesting.
Good. Refreshing.
Hey, I was at the Servite Modern Day game on Friday.
That was a great game, packed and all that.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you know, the tickets sold out in like 4 minutes of being posted, and it lived up to the billing of it. What was your take on? Did you check out the game?
Sure, I did. I watched it.
Yeah, what do you think? I mean, that kid that plays running back for Modern Day is the real deal.
Ray Leak.
Oh my, number four,
Ray Leak Brown.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they have a. It's embarrassing almost at this point, and I'm not even knocking it. It's not a bad thing at all. I mean, it's getting to the point where, you know, teams, there's only two teams in the state that can really get on the field with Modern Day right now.
Well, Servite was out there with them.
Yeah, Servite and Bosco.
Yeah.
And they're probably, they're going to meet in the playoffs. Maybe they'll all meet in the playoffs, you know, we'll find out. But it is amazing. And for people outside of this area, really there's three great high school football teams in the country right now, and they're all within 10-20 miles of each other down in the Orange County area.
Yeah.
And they're private schools, but the Servite quarterback, Noah Fafita,
that's my guy.
He is a very reminiscent of a guy who ended up getting hurt and transferring a bunch, but he played at Arizona also, a guy named Anu Solomon when Rich Rod took over.
I remember Anu.
Yeah. Yeah, he could run and really throw, and he was an explosive, physically fast twitch kid.
Yes.
And this kid reminds me a lot of that. And then they have that great receiver.
T-Mac. Yeah.
Tetaroa McMillan.
Yeah, McMillan. Yes.
And where's he going, Oregon?
Could be Oregon, could be Arizona.
Yeah,
you know,
I doubt he's going to Arizona.
He's amazing. I don't know, Petros.
Petros, it's personal, all right?
Yeah, sure.
Hashtag it's personal.
I don't know, brother.
No, he's got a great he's got great body control and very fabulous.
He is long too. I mean, he is, you know, he would started off the game playing corner.
I'd put him at safety.
He could be a better safety
football
player, but he could be a receiver. He could be a better defensive player than he is even an offensive player.
We always push guys towards receiver for whatever reason. You know, one of the biggest crimes in the history of football is Marquise Lee playing receiver.
Oh.
I mean, that guy was a safety, but, you know, he ends up in college with Lane Kiffin. Where do you think Kiffin's going to put him? And then they sacrificed a whole year of Robert Woods catching the ball at SC so Marquise could break records and they lose five games or something like that. It's interesting, you know, because so many people who would be, you know, $20 million richer should have played defense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the other kid, Elijah Brown, the quarterback, the freshman quarterback for Modern Day.
He's nice.
Yeah, he's going to make more waves than Bryce. He's going to make more waves than
really
most of the quarterbacks they've ever had.
Smooth.
He's beautiful. And he's only played in like 10 high school football games. And he looks like – and I know when you play at Modern Day – you have a lot of options, and you're protected in the pocket and all that.
He is comfortable in that. But I'll tell you what, number nine, I don't remember his name for Servite, but his name will pop up. Number nine is a middle backer for them, and I mean
Hold on, I'm going to find my board.
He was out that bad boy thumping. And I mean, when I say he had me excited, he hit that baby, hit that quarterback on one play, Pops, and Q. And I got to tell you, I was like, man, that's how it's supposed to be done. That is football right there.
Yeah. I remember when I was doing the state championship, I don't know, 10 years ago, maybe a little bit more, and it was still when De La Salle was dominant. Mm-hmm. You know, people in California, people couldn't beat De La Salle, and everybody knows their story, you know, and MJD and all that. But
DJ Williams.
And I would remember watching their kickoff and their kickoff return, and you know, they ran and moved like a college team, you know. Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, you look at what modern day and Bosco, and not so much Servite, he's more developmental, but you look at what they put on the field, and it's like, you know, there's no numbers difference in size between their offensive line and most Mountain West teams, and you're like, oh my god,
it's the truth, Pops. Yeah. I'm sitting there looking at this like, is this a Division 1A preseason or warm-up? Like, they were ginormous.
Uh-huh.
Ginormous.
And no shortage of the Samoan scream.
No, a lot of that.
Oh, it rains down.
It was a lot of that. I was amongst my people. We were having a wonderful time. There was a lot of that. All right, so Pops, how does that play into who they're planning on bringing into USC? Because a lot of those guys are getting plucked away. Again, we didn't say USC for any of those guys and where they were headed.
We haven't for years. You know, unless it's just a guy, you know, like the pass rusher Foreman from Corona Centennial. I mean, some guys are just going to go to USC no matter what. But, I mean, what does it mean? I mean, we all heard what Carson – I played with Carson. We all heard Carson on Dan Patrick's show yesterday give out some names and make
some
Mike
Tomlin.
Waves.
Tell me about Mike Tomlin. Yeah. He's going to leave the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well,
apparently.
I mean, you know, I'm not – look, I didn't win a Heisman, and nobody likes me over at USC anyway. But I do hear things, too, and I'm not on a committee, but I do hear things. And what I have heard is a lot of that was really accurate. There's three guys in college right now that they're really pinpointing. Mullins, that have interest, right? Mullins, the guy in Florida with the big face. His head looks like Easter Island.
So funny. So funny.
And
Easter
then,
God.
We got obviously Luke Fickell.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. I just throw him in the mix. Well, he's in for every job, right?
But I mean, he's connected to the AD. That's the
sure. What's Mike Bone? Do you have a nickname for him? What do you call it?
Old Bonarino. The Bonarino hired.
The Bonarino.
He hired Fickell at Cincinnati. And that's there's a lot of Ohio State, Urban Meyer, weird ties between all three of them, obviously. Yeah. And then
is that a good thing?
No, the other name is the other name is Franklin, right, James?
All right, and, stop
and Jimmy. Some people call him Jimmy.
Yeah.
And then there was like
y'all can have Jimmy. We're going to keep James.
Then there's like a satellite peripheral like wild card, which I would imagine was the Tomlin name that Carson threw out there as leverage in some ways, but.
Who are they really going to get? They're not getting
Tomlin. Tomlin's going to go recruit a bunch of 14 to 16-year-olds?
Yeah. No. NFL coaches don't – guys that have been coaches in the NFL for decades don't go back to college and
okay, so Jeff Fisher. I saw that name out there.
That was just a lie. Somebody did him a favor.
Well, and he's coaching with Eddie George right now, right? So he's trying to keep himself – kind of relevant in terms of what he's doing, right?
But I think the hire of the feel good tough guy alumni Del Rio Fisher hire has sailed. I think, you know, over the last five or six USC hires.
Yeah, that's right.
Can I ask this, Petros?
I think they're just going to end up with Fickell. I mean, I think that's the obvious thing, and it's the obvious route, and it was something that was seen 2 years ago.
Right.
But it's right in front of our faces, so it's not as fun to talk about. I'm sorry, Brady. Go ahead.
No. I'm just curious. Like, why do you all – like, why did – and this is –
What do me? What do I? What?
No. This isn't just a USC thing. It's every school. They always feel the need to bring back someone who's got some sort of DNA at that school.
They know what we're like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, is it that bad of an idea?
They know what we're supposed to be like.
But is it that bad of an idea to say that someone who maybe thinks outside the box or has a different perspective, is it maybe better for USC right now?
You know, Pete Carroll wasn't from USC. John Robinson wasn't from USC. John McKay wasn't from USC.
I mean, they're three best coaches.
Yeah, and they all came
from USC's football history.
Yeah, I don't know where I don't know where Ho Jones, old Howard Jones, came from, but they were Oregon guys, you know. And you know, Pete Carroll wasn't a USC guy by any means when he came, and he wasn't their first choice. There is something to be said for understanding the tradition of the place. Like, you can't go to Penn State and say, we're going to run a run and shoot and bring in Timmy Chang to coordinate the offense. Like, you're not going to do that. Well, it's just not the personality.
Well, what about the air raid?
I'll say this.
That's what they did there.
But, exactly.
Well, but think about it this way. The head coach doesn't necessarily have to be the one that's from the school. As long as that head coach, you guys just mentioned ran off a few really, really good names in the industry. You got to know how to bring in somebody who can connect to the alumni. And that's the biggest thing. I mean, that's, you know, you look at what's going on in Texas, you know, they bring back Vince Young, or you look at, you know, Miami, they bring back Ed Reed, you know, some of these other schools. Archie Griffin is at Ohio State. Ron Dane is at Wisconsin. So when you have people who are beloved that are in the front office or in certain positions where they can do outreach, then it's not so bad. So you could bring in a Fickell, but who are you going to bring in? Who's going to be the equalizer to be that bridge? Who's going
to
bridge the gap?
Look, I'm not an ex-famous player, so to me that doesn't mean as much. I mean, you got to have a product on the field.
Winning stuff.
Yeah,
boosters, they're addicted to winning.
That's what we've been talking about over the last 3 years at SC when Mike, the old Bonarino, has taken over. It's just like,
hilarious.
You know, look who he's hired. Look at all this infrastructure. Look at what he's done. And it's like, well, it doesn't matter if you're not winning. None of that matters. None of the BLVD, Boulevard, you know, the name, image, licensing, stupid rap video they're putting out. Like, none of the flames
it's
to come
cool,
out of
though,
the tunnel.
Man.
But
it's
it doesn't.
Cool.
It means nothing
it's
if you don't win.
It's a fire hazard, those flames.
You can run Leinart out there. You can run Reggie out there. You can
give Leinart that little, like, plastic sword or whatever they got out there
it's,
with. That,
it's
that
metal.
That didn't do much last week.
It's dull and metal. You can run Charles White out there, OJ, Marcus Allen. You can run anybody out there you want. If you're not winning football games and if you don't look like that actual team's personality on the field, then people are going to be pissed and you're going to end up getting fired. I mean, there's nobody more Louisiana than Ed Orgeron, and, you know, that didn't work after a while. It's a really complex chemistry experiment to make these things work long-term at a blue blood. And it's even harder to handle success, as you guys have all seen over and over again in our careers, you know, watching this. It's really a difficult balance. But, you know, one thing I do think about is, like, I've called a few Nevada games. You guys know Nevada?
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, and, like, their personality is that they run the ball, even though they have an air raid offensive coordinator. They have tight splits, and they try to run. And it's because that's what they agreed to with Chris Ault when they took the job. He said, look, I like what you know. And they've kept some of that identity, that physical identity of the Kaepernick era, the pistol, and what they created. You know, they've tried to incorporate it into the personality of the program because it's who they are and it's what the alumni relate to. And I think that's important when you're thinking about hiring a coach, a schematic fit. And obviously we've gotten far away from that at USC. And Brady's Notre Dame doesn't even look like Notre Dame anymore because they change the grass.
Oh,
that's right.
But they still –
that was a big talking point for us last week on the show.
They're winning.
Not the fact that they were just going to get their ass kicked again.
Mm. Yeah, well, they won. Yeah, it's important to win.
Yeah. Right. Like that was kind of the key.
We made that
a lot
point.
Of sensitivity, by the way, Petros, from our Fox folks there who are USC alums. Which
oh yeah, well I bet you know. Well, they get really mad. Like I remember watching a USC UCLA game with Liner, not because we wanted to. They made him because we were working in the studio, and USC was getting beat. Ended up losing. It's back when Mora kind of had it together, like had some semblance of a
I feel like I might have called that game.
Mm. Yeah, you probably did. And like Leinart like walked out of the room, and I just heard him drop the loudest, most like desperate F bomb.
It was desperate.
I was like,
I was desperate. That is Petros Papadakis, Papadakis, excuse me. Co-host of the Petros and Money Show and analyst for Fox College Football. You can get him at the Old P. That is super dope content, man. Enjoy your week, man. We appreciate you coming
Thank
on,
you,
man.
Thank you, Petros. Hey,
good for you, LeVar, getting out and seeing people and watching the high school games.
Oh, definitely.
The kids love to see you out there.
Indeed. Oh, I make sure I stay connected. In fact, Noah and T-Mac were actually in my 8th grade game. I do an 8th grade game where the top 70 all around the country, I bring and take them on campus. So
well, don't
I do
let
a lot
them go to Arizona.
Kids. Well, I stay out of that. I tend to stay away from that.
Hey, it's personal.
It's personal,
Petros.
I sent you right. Wale Batiku, you know, y'all didn't do, you know, he had to go somewhere else.
Well, maybe, right? maybe they'll turn Arizona around together.
Maybe so.
Well, it's personal, so.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a break, and on the other side of this break, we're going to hit the scraps, baby. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio. Two pros, a cup of Joe, and a Papadakis.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The NFL season is rolling along, but it's never too late to get in the action with DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. This week, new customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Don't miss your shot to get some skin in the game. Playing daily fantasy football is simple. Just pick your lineup up of NFL stars while staying under the salary cap and score enough points to bring home cash. And with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes, you'll feel the NFL action like never before. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code 2PROS. That's with a 2. PROS this week. New customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Enter promo code 2PROS to get a free shot at millions in total prizes with your first deposit. That's code 2PROS only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minus $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. So see DraftKings.com for details. Lee, hit me with it.
You moron.
How could you not get to these stories?
You moron.
These are the scraps.
What we got?
You guys, they say there's no such thing as a perfect Halloween costume, but sometimes a Halloween costume, it might just be creative for the year.
Oh,
and for sports fans this year, there might just be the perfect one out there. A guy dressed as Urban Meyer with an accompanying, let's call it a blow-up doll.
Okay.
Fitting for the times.
An adult doll.
Oh, come on. Why are they punching down, man?
Oh,
hey, by the way, they're 1-1 after that incident. I'll just throw that out there.
I mean,
they're a 500 football team. There's some other NFL teams that cannot say that since that incident.
That is fair.
Say what you want, man. They're 1-1, and they are on their way.
I think the only thing better is if they put it on the front of a dog costume. You know what I mean? Like. You know how they look real funny when they're walking around and you put like the certain stuff, it looks like they're standing up and they're walking. It'd be kind of funny, but all right. Maybe they're in my own head. Go ahead. Next story. That got awkward. Next story.
You guys, we had talked about the Manning cast, and of course we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about Marshawn Lynch, who was asked about his Hennessy shots before game day. He gave three before the cast, one for him, one for Peyton, and one for Eli.
Yeah, he did drop an F-bomb at one point, too, which is pretty legendary.
I'll tell you what, there's a whole lot to talk about. Stay tuned. Dan Patrick is coming up. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.